Welcome to the Covenant of Peace radio broadcast, the teaching ministry of Pastor Blair Bradley. This program is dedicated to bringing you the glorious truth of God's Word, one verse at a time.
A mighty fortress is our God.
We are living in powerful days, and we are seeing tremendous changes in our lives, our culture, our nation, and in the church. So now more than ever, we have a great need to exercise spiritual discernment and to know what the Bible teaches about the important issues that we all face today. So let's join Pastor Blair as he continues our study on the Word of God.
Welcome again, my beloved in Jesus Christ. We're continuing our verse-by-verse journey through the Epistle of 1 John, and today I want to continue to look at what John taught about the test of truth. So let's turn in our Bibles and let's read 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27 again together. Children, it is the last hour, and just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. But as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in him. Now, when many people speak about truth today, they do not mean the same thing that John meant when he wrote this passage. Most people actually mean the word opinion when they use the word truth. And the reason that we know this is because of what they say right after they use the word truth in a sentence. When many people use the word truth in a sentence, they almost always qualify it with another sentence that goes something like this. Well, that may be true to you, but that is not necessarily the way that I see it. Or, well, that may be your truth, but that's not my truth. Statements like this show that the definition of the word truth is not known by these people. The word truth is not the same word as opinion or interpretation or viewpoint. The word truth doesn't mean what these other words mean. When you speak of truth in a biblical sense, as John uses it here, you narrow the definition even further. Look, we all have opinions. Every human on earth has opinions. I have opinions, and so do you. So did John. But what John wrote here was not his opinion or just a good idea that he came up with. What John wrote here came out of the very mind and heart and mouth of Almighty God. And these words are not words that just sounded good or clever to John. These words are inspired. They are God-breathed. And that means, by definition, that these words, along with all the other words of Scripture, are infallible. They are inerrant. They are authoritative, relevant, and they are eternal. And that means that these words are unique and special above and beyond any other words of any other book that has ever or that will ever be produced by any other human being. The words of Scripture are truth, but they're not just our truth. They're not just truth to Christians or to the church. No, these special words are divine revelation from the owner and the creator of the universe, and they are universally true. Therefore, the words of Scripture are true for every man under every culture who lives in any nation for any period of time in history. And they are true whether they are believed or not. Every single human being who has ever lived will be judged by the words of the Bible precisely because they are divine truth. And so as John was writing this part of the Bible down, he knew what he was doing. He understood that along with the other apostles and the other writers of Scripture, that God the Holy Spirit was using him to formulate divine truth, not just to believers, but to the entire world, and not just during his lifetime, but for all time. Now, what I just said may seem harsh or legalistic to some of you, but it isn't. And please allow me to show you why it's not legalistic to say what I just said. If I was the one who made that kind of bold claim on the Scriptures, you would do well to disregard what I just said. But I didn't make that claim. Scripture itself makes the claim that I just said. For example, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and I want you to read verses 12 and 13 together. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So here the Bible makes the claim about itself that is almost fantastic to comprehend. The Bible says that the Bible, all by itself, without any assistance from any man, is both living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, it wouldn't take very long for anybody to do just a little research to find out that a two-edged sword is different from a one-edged sword. A one-edged sword was used for dress and for formal dinners and occasions, while a two-edged sword was used for battle because it was able to cut from both directions. The purpose then of the Word of God is not to complement us, but to cut past all the human being's natural tendency to hide from God and to make excuses for what he's doing and his tendency to throw up barriers and to try to make things appear differently than the way that they really are. And God knows that we all do that. So in his mercy, God gave us a marvelous tool, the Word of God, that is sharper than any two-edged battle sword, so that the Word of God has the ability all by itself to get past all of the junk and get down to the real nitty-gritty of where we all live. Now look what it says about itself. Look, the Bible says that the Bible is able to pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Wow. Now notice that the Bible doesn't say that the visiting evangelist is able to do this. Notice that the Bible doesn't make this claim about any living human being. The Bible makes this fantastic claim about itself. Now I know that there are some people who say that God has given them this ability, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't make the claim that any living human being, not me, not you, not anybody, can do these things, but it reserves this claim solely for itself. This is why people get so angry when the Word of God is preached. This is why they react with such hostility to what it says. The Word of God all by itself has pierced their heart, divided between their soul and spirit. The Word of God has discerned the very thoughts and intents of their heart. Now here is the great divide. Lost people cannot stand it when the Word of God does this, but saved people love it. Wicked men who love their sins will boldly reject the Word of God, and they will harden their hearts as the Word does its great work in them. Saved people who love God will be convicted as the Word of God is preached. They will humbly and graciously bow and repent and embrace the fullness of God. So lukewarm or lost people do not want to be in an environment where the Word of God holds preeminence and where it is preached rightly, fully, and thoroughly. It's not because there's anything wrong with God's Word. There isn't. God's Word is perfect. It is simply because lost people love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, for almost 6,000 years, that's the way it was. People got angry over God's word 6,000 years ago, but everybody knew why, and everybody knew that the only hope for these people was for them to continue to hear it and be exposed to it. Everybody knew that for anyone to attempt to change or silence God's word because it was offensive and was offending Luke and lost and lukewarm people is like removing the fire hose from a burning building because it put out too much water that might damage the carpet. So to alter the word of God to smooth over the divine message or to try to make a patently offensive gospel to be non-offensive so that it doesn't offend the lost is to take away from the lost their only hope of salvation. One of the main reasons that we know that the Bible came out of the mouth of God and was not the product of a group of religious geniuses is because they would have been raving lunatics to write a book that condemns the entire human race who lives outside of Jesus Christ. Writing a book like the Bible is not the way to make friends and influence people. But if man really is lost and his salvation comes only through Jesus Christ, then preaching and teaching that truth becomes paramount if anyone is to be saved. And if that is true, then any attempt by anyone for any reason to monkey around with that truth is to doom everybody to remain lost. So to John and the other apostles, divine truth was not an opinion. It was fact. And it was not their fact. It was God's facts. And since that is true, knowing this truth, comprehending this truth, studying this truth, loving this truth, proclaiming this truth, defending this truth, obeying this truth against every attempt at changing it or whitewashing it or silencing it became their highest priority. Like today, John was faced with an ever-present temptation to dull the edge of the sword so as to make the sword more appealing to the lost. There is no doubt that many people said to John, "Look, why don't we just love people as they are and quit worrying about silly little theological points like the deity of Christ and human depravity." But John would have none of this foolishness, and he constantly set the bar higher and higher rather than lowering it so that divine truth was put where it belongs, as the definer and the judge of all men. For example, John made one of the most amazing statements that any human being has ever made when he said that those who desire to be in right relationship with God must also be in right relationship with that which John and the other apostles wrote. In essence, John was saying, "We apostles are right about this, and what we are saying is true. And if you desire to be right with God, then you must also be in agreement with what we have written down." Now, I could never say anything like that, and no other living human being can say anything like that today. But John, in his position as an apostle, could say that. And so could Paul, and so could Peter, and so could James and Moses and all the other writers of Scripture. John taught that for anyone to know and love and be in agreement with divine truth proved that God had saved you and had given you that new divine nature, and you were, in fact, like Christ or a Christian. Likewise, John also taught that for anyone to reject or to change or to disregard or to silence divine truth proved that they were lost and yet in their sins, and they were unlike or against Christ. And that's what John meant when he used the term Antichrist. Anti means against. These people were not followers of Jesus. They fought against Jesus. They were Antichrist. Well, I'm going to have to stop right here, but please join me again on the next broadcast as we continue our journey through the epistle of 1 John. May God help us all.
Dear friends, if this radio broadcast of line upon line, precept upon precept teaching of God's holy word is a blessing to you, will you prayerfully consider supporting us financially? We want to increase our exposure here on the Gulf Coast through more radio stations and through the internet. Would you pray about coming alongside of us and help us do that to God's glory? For further information about how you can partner with us in seeing the gospel triumph in our area, or to receive a copy of today's broadcast, go to our website, www.covenantofpeace.net. Until next time, may the peace of God keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.